Support for WVIK comes from Seifert Building Supplies, offering choices of cabinets, countertops, and hardware combinations to create or remodel a new kitchen. For an appointment with a design specialist, 563-391-5110. For more information, QuadCityKitchens.com.
Welcome to What's Happening QC, the culture guide by Quad Citizens for Quad Citizens. I'm Mark Zyla.
What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening? What's happening? Davenport and Rock Island, Bettendorf and Moline. Don't forget about East Moline. What's happening? What's happening?
Our guest is Adam Peters. So excited to get to talk to him. Adam, it's been a really busy month for you, and we'll get through all the things that you've been up to. But let's start with, there's a closing weekend of Pride with a lot of really great events. So why don't you hit us with all those details, and then we'll get into it a little bit more.
So just like your theme song, don't forget about East Moline. On Friday at Runners Park in East Moline, we are doing a Pride flag raising ceremony at 1 o'clock. We want to see all Quad Citizens support be there. On Saturday, we have the amazing project of the Quad Cities holds their Bass Street Landing Pride in Moline from 3 to 8. Clock Inc. will be boothing there. There's going to be food vendors, shows, the whole kit and caboodle. It's an awesome Pride to bring your family to. But yeah, that's from 3 to 8 on Saturday. On Sunday, we have two major events. We have our first Pride hike. That is at Blackhawk State Park at 10 a.m. I'm trying to remember all the details. And that is actually going to be the first of each month we'll be doing a Pride hike at a different park, but that's the first one. And then at 1 o'clock that afternoon, we're going to have our Pride picnic, which is put on by all the LGBTQ organizations of the Quad Cities. That will be at Ben Butterworth Park in Moline. Bring a side dish, but we've got hot dogs, chips, we've got games for kids. It's usually a really nice afternoon. We'll have music, bubbles, the whole thing. And then Monday, the last day of Pride, we are doing everything we can to make sure we move forward out of Pride with patriotism and writing our legislators. So on Monday, we will have an event at Clock at 5 p.m. with the Rock Island County Democrats, writing postcards and letters to our elected officials, urging them to either do what's right or thanking them for doing good things already.
Well, that's awesome. That sounds like a really great slate of events. And if you're even able to get to one or two of them, that'll be a great weekend.
I will be at all of them. So see you there. Yeah.
So I think a thing that I really love about talking to you about all your community programming is how you tie people's interests and building community around that. So having a hike to kind of bring people who are trying to get outdoors. Tell me a little bit more about your philosophy in terms of building things like that, because I know you've done it with the runners groups and
before. So for me, it's actually kind of something I learned on political campaigns. It's meeting people where they're at. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I might have a myriad of different interests, but, you know, we're not going to talk to every single person in those interests. So, like, let's do something different. Let's do something that might have folks show up that we never see them. Last year, we did our first Pride hike. We advertised it. We had 28 people attend, and I only knew 3 of their faces. So it just brings in folks from all over, and we just like creating events of all types.
Well, that's awesome. We'll have more with Adam Peters after this message.
What's Happening Quad Cities is made possible by support from Seifert Building Supplies, inviting their homeowners and contractors to take their projects to the next level. Learn more at SeifertLumber.com.
So Adam, you've said that it's been a really busy month for you and you're looking for a little bit of a maybe event vacation.
Yeah.
But why don't you give me a little bit of a recap of the first part of Pride Month?
So we went to the big Pride Fest that was the first weekend of Pride. So that's a 2-day Pride Fest at Schwiebert Park. There were so many people there. It was amazing. We had our dunk tank. We boothed both days. We also had our art auction the next week. That's one of our major fundraisers of the entire year. So community members donate artwork. All different mediums. Youth from Clock created art, and we auction it all off to raise money to keep our center open and the programs funded. This was our third year doing it, a partnership with the Figge Art Museum. They're fantastic. And it was just so incredible, not only because the art, I think, just was a step above what we've done in previous years. But just seeing the kids' art that they donated and the in-person event, because we have it as a virtual auction for the first 12 days. Mm-hmm. Then we have an in-person event at the Figge. That was really cool. We met a lot of new people that had heard about the art auction and wanted to support.
Yeah.
And then we've had just like all of these little pop-up events. It's like a blur to me. Like we've had like 8 or 9 different events already and, you know, we've got like 5 more to go. But it's been a really fantastic month. There's a lot going on in the world. But I feel like the Quad Cities community is stepping up in a big way,
right,
in a way that feels even more tangible than it was in years past. And
probably pretty affirming.
Yes. That's... like it has been a constant reminder of how blessed I feel to live here.
Right, 100%. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the event at Take Cover.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had somebody come in and say, I went to
it. I awesome. Forgot about
and
that.
And I know I saw it on your it was social last media week. That you're part of
yeah.
that. So tell me the story behind getting that started and kind of how it went and people how people can look forward to the next one.
Well, Dan Bush and I had a lunch meeting and I had some ideas that I wanted to run by him. But this Pride Night was literally his idea.
Oh, great.
So it's just really cool coming from a ally and a business owner in the Quad Cities. So we've been having the Pride Nights every third Thursday of each month.
Mm-hmm.
And as the months have gone by, I knew early on that they were going to be popular. I just didn't understand how popular they actually were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So this June month, we actually had NAR City come and do t-shirt printing. We were going to have karaoke, but we actually didn't because there were so many people there that right. logistically it just wasn't going to work out that time.
I was talking to Joelle, the bartender at Devon's, who was also working at Take Cover that night. And she's like, as soon as I walked in the door, I did not stop. I couldn't get a break to eat.
Yeah, it was they had 3 or 4 bartenders that night and they were constantly working. Inside was packed. The patio was packed. NAR City was supposed to be there for 2 hours. They ended up being there almost 4 because they just kept making shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing that in the Quad Cities, we've got all of these eclectic, awesome, affirming spots that are becoming third spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Take Cover is one of those. Atlas Collective in downtown Moline. It's really exciting. And we're going to keep that momentum going. Like I said, we didn't end up doing karaoke, but Sean Moeller was like, let's keep Pride Month going.
Right.
So in July, we're actually going to do a standalone karaoke event at Raccoon Motel. Mm-hmm. I think it's on the 21st of July. But yeah, the Pride Fest at Take Cover has just been so successful. And again, just another one of those, oh my gosh, the Quad Cities is freaking cool. Like, you know, I love it. I meet new people every single time I go. I'm like, wow, we live in a big area and it's just so awesome to see people come out of the woodwork for these events.
100%. Another thing that I've been seeing in your social media is, I think a little bit of a different tone in the political sphere in comparison to a lot of others, which a thing that I've always liked about you is that, that like rhetoric doesn't mean anything unless you're actually going to go into action. Mm-hmm. So for you to be like positive about things in this, yeah, in this current time, and, you know, offering here are things that you can do to continue to make our country better and to, yeah, to push in the right direction. Talk to me a little bit about how that's going for you, and just in a sense, like, what do you think people should be doing to kind of keep abreast of situations?
So first I'll talk on the positivity, because I get this question often. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's two answers. People are like, how are you so positive when everything's going on? Mm-hmm. Gestures broadly.
Right.
Honestly, two things. One, I'm just wired that way. Like, I'm going to do the work. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be positive. Mm-hmm. But secondly, the work that I do at Clock and in the LGBTQ community, because we are creating so many spaces where people are coming together and celebrating who they are, mm-hmm, that's kind of beautiful and positive. And I feed off of that. And while we may commiserate and complain and be afraid, mm-hmm, there's just a level of joy that happens when we're together that I find refreshing and constantly refills my cup. Mm-hmm. Now, on the like what we should be doing component, I've been giving sort of speeches lately, getting asked to do things. But for me, the turning point was the No Kings rally. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time that when I got up to give remarks, that I felt like the people in front of me and myself, we are on the same page.
Right.
And we know that there is work that needs to be done. So part of my remarks are reminding people that we really do have agency and we do have power, mm-hmm, when we are like coming together and talking about the issues,
right,
and what we want to see changed. But secondly, the call to action is getting uncomfortable, which is talking to people that we may not regularly talk to,
right,
talking with people that don't agree with us.
Right.
And I understand not every human being is wired that way that can do that. But the more time that we show up and the more time that we challenge ourselves to get uncomfortable, the more time we're going to be moving toward the answer that we are looking for. So that's kind of what my call to action has been lately. Mm-hmm. Again, the No Kings rally was electric. There's like 3,000 Quad citizens there. Mm-hmm. I have never felt in this area as just so sure that we are moving towards something that is going to create positive change in our area and in this country as I was that Saturday, two Saturdays ago now. But mm-hmm, yeah, it was incredible.
Well, that's really exciting. Let's step outside of the political sphere now and get to your other love, show choir.
Oh, show choir.
So let's start with, I saw that there was an event here in town that was hosted,
yes,
by Augustana. Tell me what that was and
I'm
how it
so
went.
Glad we get to talk about this.
Awesome.
It's so incredible. So Show Choir Camps of America is an incredible camp. Like the world-renowned camp for show choirs. Mm-hmm. It has been going on for 45 years. Actually like 47 years. Mm-hmm. They have met at Millikan University and Tiffin University in Heidelberg College for a number of years, but they made a switch this year. They brought the Millikan camp to Augustana College.
That's
which
awesome.
Go Augies. I didn't go to Augustana. So
the Vikings.
Go Vikings. Woot. No, but it was an incredible week. There were 460 student campers,
wow,
from 26 different states. There was a teacher track. So there was 80 teachers from across the country. And there was some of the best and brightest clinicians working with these kids, about 20, 25 of those. Mm-hmm. And it's just a full week camp where they're learning learning shows. They perform at the end of the week. There's a Broadway performer they bring in one of the nights. They had an a cappella group another night. They have a student talent show, a teacher talent show. It's just an incredible camp. I used to work there for a number of years, and it was just so awesome to be able to pop in, help them sometimes, but then also just like sit back and watch the shows and catch up with incredible, incredible show choir minds. And they, I'm happy to report, loved Augustana.
Awesome.
They're really excited to come back. Yeah, it just was such a great week. And I know it was a little bit stressful because they've done their camp at, you know, two universities the same way for years.
Right.
But they said the Augustana staff was incredible and they're looking forward to next year.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's recap the your judging season.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you this year?
So I did 14 weekends in a row. So I did clock Monday through Friday. Sometimes I wasn't there on Friday, but then I would be traveling to anywhere from Cleveland, Ohio to New York City, Orlando, LA on the weekends to judge 14 in a row. Saw some incredible shows. Saw the creativity is just kind of insane. So I judged a competition in Orlando and saw an area Iowa group, incredible, but also saw this group from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their show was a original story about the prologue to the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz telling his story. And they just created this entire amazing story. They won that competition. Just really cool to see the creativity that everybody has.
So you've been doing this for, it seems like a long time.
Over 15 years. Okay. Yeah.
What kinds of trends do you see and where is show choir heading here into the future?
So around the time when I was a director of a group in Muscatine, there was a pretty marked shift towards these story shows. So where show choir was before, where it was like five random songs, you got your fast, cool opener, a jazzy second song, a ballad, slow, lovely song. Fourth song would be, you know, a treble song and then a bass song and then a upbeat closer. Now you've got shows that are created around stories, ideas, and they might have 15 different songs weaved throughout. And, you know, medleys and mashups and, you know, two ballads, one at the beginning of the show, one near the end. Maybe the ballad is the closer.
Right. So the structure is more tied to telling the story as opposed to like filling the buckets that are expected.
Exactly. So like at Show Choir Camps of America, the teachers do their own show and perform for the students. And this year, for the first time ever, they delved into not just doing four random songs. They took their random stock charts and mashed them together into Stranger Things.
Oh, cool.
It was a little snippet of what Stranger Things was. So it's just, that is what we're seeing more of. What I call five-song roulette is happening less, but it's still happening.
Right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. We can spend all day talking.
We've
done this.
Yeah.
So for the sake of good content, we'll start to wrap up here. But what are some things that you're looking forward to both in your work life and you just your... wringing out everything that you can from the Quad Cities here in the next few months?
I am looking forward to sleeping.
Okay.
So that's my number one priority in July is just like a nice nap.
But recharge those batteries.
Like I said before, I just feel supercharged from the Pride Month, seeing the support that we have and taking that moving forward into the second half of the year is going to be really exciting. We have an event that is our second major event of the year. We launched it last year, QC Icon. And we're just really looking forward to taking that event up a notch and planning for that. That's October 3rd. It's going to be at Icons Bar in the iconic banquet space. So planning on doing that and like just continuing to do all of these like random pop-up things that bring in folks that might not have been in the LGBTQ community or in Clock. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to. And also my side love for politics. Like, we have a lot of campaigns launching this Saturday, as well as Pride Fest at Bass Street Landing. The Scott County Democrats have their major dinner. We're going to hear from a whole slate of politicians, some who have just announced campaigns. That is exciting to me. I feel a lot of change on the horizon. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to get tapped into that and just continue that work.
Right. And I'm sure you'll go to the Raccoon Motel and take cover and do yoga.
Yes. Oh, things. Yoga. I'm subbing at Sanctuary 2 days on the third week of July. So come do yoga at Sanctuary Studios with me.
Awesome. Are you still running?
Yeah. Are you going to be running the Bix? I forgot. Pride 5K is Saturday. That's also through the project. I'll be running that as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by today. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Look forward to having you on again soon. And thank you all so much for listening, watching today. I always love it when Adam Peters comes on the show. And so I'd really love it if you would subscribe to our show, but both wherever you get your podcasts. It'll also be on our YouTube channel, which is WVIKQC. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of What's Happening QC. Thank you for listening to What's Happening QC. Our theme music is by Centaur Noir and Del Rockford. WHQC is produced by WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Support for WVIK comes from Seifert Building Supplies, presenting a newly remodeled kitchen showroom in Davenport. Seifert has 130 years' experience in kitchen design, with design specialists on site. More information is available at QuadCityKitchens.com.